I have a penis for your vagina hole. Me there for you whenever you feel alone.
There welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising. Yeah, right. So.
Are you guys ready for an hour and a half of bad audio? Because we are.
We are snowed in because of Snowmageddon. Sneak is in her apartment. I'm in Akeem's bed. Having a great time. He's sucking my toes as we record this. No, I wish.
It's true. I can confirm.
Hope you guys made it through Snowmageddon.
Yeah.
If not, rest in peace.
Sorry. So,
yeah.
Okay. Our first segment. Fuck that. Woo!
Yeah. Woo! Current events, topic of the day.
That's so funny.
Or whatever. The week.
Now, usually I don't do this, but, go ahead on, break them off with a little previews of the remix. Now,
first up, R. Kelly. So, on January 20th, GQ released a really long, interesting interview with R. Kelly.
In-depth interview.
Yeah.
Yes.
With R. Kelly about his, I guess, sexual history, childhood of abuse, and, you know, how he's feeling about himself right now as an artist and a figure, and a pop cultural figure.
Yeah. I don't know. It was all a little weird.
It was. All right, so, and I guess, so the three, I don't know why I said three. What a weird arbitrary number to pick.
Well, there were like three things that stuck out. Like
his child abuse.
Well, no, there was like four, actually.
His generational child abuse comment was interesting. So basically, R. Kelly was sexually abused by a female blood-related family member, or he heavily insinuates that she was blood-related.
I think he actually said that she was blood related.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
And in, from the ages of like
8 to 15.
To 14. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what was interesting about his comment was that the interviewer asked, you know, how do you think about her? And, you know, like, what are your thoughts on her? Do you forgive her? Or maybe that's not. He, ultimately, R. Kelly said that he forgave her because he didn't see it as something that she had started with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that, you know, it was probably between her and someone older, between them and someone older.
Yeah, saying that she got assaulted by someone, and then that caused her to assault someone younger than her.
Yeah, and summed it up as a generational curse.
Yeah, that's what he said it was.
Which, the interviewer was like, okay, so if a generational curse, then are you insinuating that, you know, you did this?
Yeah, okay, the interviewer thought that in the back of his head, but he didn't actually say it until, like, day three of the interview or whatever. Because at that time, he hadn't gotten into any of the allegations that people bought against R. Kelly. So he was just like, I gotta ask him about that later. But he did ask him if he thought that the abuse that was bought upon him by this female relative shaped who he was today, like, in terms of, like, being a very sexual person. And he said, it did. So it was just all made me feel very uncomfortable.
It's interesting, yeah, because he did say that it made him sexual at a younger age.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes, you know what, so in Redefining Realness, Janet Mock talks about, if you don't know Janet Mock, she is a transgender
media personality.
TV personality.
Journalist,
activist.
Writer.
She was abused when she was a young boy by, I believe, cousin, someone who lived in her house, a little, still a younger person, but mm-hmm. was a young person, but older than her, not fully an adult, maybe under 18, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the abuse happened for a few years, and she just remembered, so, and it, she said it carried into her sexual encounters, because the first time that someone loved her, professed some sort of affection to her, mm-hmm. like, tried to kiss her, instead of, like, she panicked, and she just gave the kid a blowjob. Because she was like, that's all I know, that's what's comfortable, that's what's safe for me. So she didn't know how to relate to healthy, romantic interactions because of her abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think any way you slice it, it's going to, like, affect you in some way or whatever. Just because, like, your life affects what happens to you. What your experiences are with a certain thing are going to affect what your experiences are with that, with something in the same vein later, but I don't think that necessarily means that all people who are abused become abusers. I think that's like a very harmful myth. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, because yeah, I think it definitely can, it shapes how you see and view things as you're like growing up. But I think once you're in the adult world and hopefully exposed to healthy relationships and, you know, what is considered illegal, what's not legal, what's assault and what isn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. I think that's where your choice comes in and you're like, okay, something that, the thing that happened to me was wrong and was not normal.
Mm-hmm.
I know this. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of this. And therefore, I think that's when you're held accountable.
Exactly. You don't have to carry that out. Like, people are just fucked up or whatever. I mean, somebody can be killed in your family. It doesn't automatically make you a killer. Still your choice when it comes down to it.
You said that if a kid is given a gun, they're gonna grow up being a shooter, and I also don't think that's true. Like, I know that environment is very important in shaping you, but
yeah.
You have to weigh. I don't think what happens to you when you're young has to determine the course of the rest of your life.
I don't think so either. Okay, so then the second thing that R. Kelly brings up, not R. Kelly. The second main thing that the interviewer brings up is R. Kelly's relationship with Aaliyah, because he wants to, it's like R. Kelly, I mean, not R. Kelly, Chris Heath, the guy who wrote this article, really just wrote it about, like, sexual assault, pretty much, and R. Kelly's relationship with the truth and things like that. It really isn't about his new album at all. So if you wanted to hear about Black Panties or whatever the fuck it's called, or Buffet or whatever, you're not gonna get that.
Not for you. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So the interviewer says, like, his into talking about the sexual assault allegations against R. Kelly is to bring up Aaliyah or whatever, because he's actually acknowledged that, you know, R. Kelly, like, says, like, Aaliyah is his best friend or whatever, and he produced for her, and he, like, produced her first album, and they were very close and stuff like that. So he, like, starts it from that angle, because he feels weird just saying, so about those women you sexually assaulted, or those girls you sexually assaulted, rather. And I don't know exactly what he says. I don't think exactly what it said matters. I think he's just like,
he's talking about like your closeness with Aaliyah. Like, how close would you define it as love?
Yeah.
And he slowly gets to, you know, and then he asks, like, you know, were you guys married? And then he goes from very like on the surface to just being a little more direct.
Yeah, exactly. And R. Kelly just fucking weasels around it the whole time. It was very odd. It was a very odd. I don't know, during it, I was kind of just like, I don't know what R. Kelly's mental status is like, you know?
He seems like a very, like, kind of off-the-cuff, nutty kind of personality.
Zany old R. Kelly! Do-do-do-do-do-do! No, I kind of got
the closet.
Huh? Yeah, he sleeps in a closet. That was odd. I don't know, some of the ways he would say things, like, I guess because it's, like, through text, and I wasn't sure, like, what type of body language he was giving, but, like, there was one point where, like, the interviewer asked him a question, and it was, like, kind of straightforward, and he was like, that last part, I don't quite understand that last part, but if you can make me understand, and it was, like, not, like, the interviewer didn't say any, like, intricate wording or anything like that, so, I'm not sure about, like, his, I don't want to, like, call him slow, but it seemed like he was, like, a little slow.
Maybe he was getting drunk, you know? We don't know what they were doing.
maybe he was getting drunk.
They could have been drinking. They were in the last 2 days were in like a cigar room, which I'm sure they serve alcohol, and I'm sure they were not like, I don't know if R. Kelly was committed to being sober for the interview.
That's funny, because the whole thing, he's like, my lawyers advised me not to do that. Like, I feel like your lawyers would advise you not to be drunk off your ass during an interview in which they know that you're gonna ask them about fucking, like, your history of sexual assault.
I think it's interesting because he, you know, clearly this has been questions aren't new to him, so
yeah,
perhaps he just has a defense mechanism with, like, just
yeah, reaction. I feel like his defense mechanism is playing stupid.
Yeah.
But it's
like,
not,
you know who Dave Chappelle is.
So everybody, I feel like everybody knows, but Dave Chappelle did this skit on his show where he remixed R. Kelly's song Ignition, and he made it about the fact that he pees on people or whatever because of the sex tape in which R. Kelly peed on an underage girl or whatever. I'll probably play the audio right now.
Say, rolling around, sitting on doves, can't my hours high on shrubs, cooling in my Escalade. Man, I'm paid, I got it made. Take me to your special place. Close your eyes, show me your face.
I'm gonna piss on it.
But yeah, so the interviewer asks, do you know who Dave Chappelle is? And he's just like, David Chappelle? Like, what the fuck? Like, everyone knows who Dave Chappelle is. You fucking know who Dave Chappelle is. Like, on the show, Dave Chappelle talked about an encounter he had with R. Kelly after R. Kelly heard Dave Chappelle's skit. There's Dave Chappelle had that, like, I'm Rick James, bitch, that Rick James sketch or whatever, and I think R. Kelly wore a shirt that said I'm Rick James, bitch, or something like that. So he fucking knows who Dave Chappelle is. It's just weird. And then, like...
Yeah, he's being mad.
Just weird. And then, like... Like, okay, so the interview is, like, Chappelle Show, you know, very famous, and he's, like, and R. Kelly's, like, okay, comedian? Like, but the interviewer never said that he's a comedian. So you fucking knew... You know who Dave Chappelle is. It's just weird. I just think it's hilarious that he said David Chappelle. let me use his full name so they believe I don't understand. Like, Samantha? No, I don't know her. Like,
Davison? Duvel.
Duvel Chappelle. Ah, seems familiar. What the fuck?
Another point in there was the Bill Cosby section.
Yeah, that was weird because he brought it up himself. So he was talking about just being a father. Okay, so that's when the interviewer goes back. That's like on the third day when he goes back to talk about generational abuse or whatever. And R. Kelly's like, well, things don't have to be passed on from generation to generation. And he believes that he stopped many things or whatever. So one of the things that he says he stopped, besides sexually assaulting younger people, is like being an absent father or whatever. And he says, I was Bill Cosby in my house when he was raising his kids. And it's just like, R. Kelly, do you know who the fuck you are? Like, why would you bring up Bill Cosby as a comparison ever, considering what's going on? And he like tries to catch himself because he's like the good Bill Cosby, the fucking, the one we grew up with. But it's like... Yeah, Cliff Huxtable, exactly, Cliff Huxtable.
Yeah, but I guess the part that's most striking about the Bill Cosby segment is discussing the rape allegations and being concerned that, or not willing to accept anything concrete coming from any of the victims because they took so long to come forward. His timing is really strange, though.
He keeps saying... people waiting 70 years to come forward.
Bill Cosby is 78.
He's 78 years old. Like, I don't think Cosby was assaulting people at 8 years old. Like, no one has waited 70 years. So it's like, what the fuck are you really talking about, first of all? But then, like, on a sadder note, so this interview wasn't the first time that R. Kelly chose to discuss his sexual assault. He first talked about it in his memoir, but his memoir came out, like, I don't know, 4 years ago or whatever. So if you, like, differentiate the time between when his sexual assault started when he was 8 and when the book came out, that was 37 years, and he didn't say anything. And it's like, I don't even know why the interviewer didn't put that in the article, but it's the fact that he's not clicking in his head that people might be ashamed to talk about something like that. And really, why didn't the interviewer put that in the fucking article? That's, like, the first thing that stood out to me before I even read the article, honestly.
Obvious. It wasn't the first thing that came to mind, but it's like a clear point. Like, he too was assaulted. He didn't say anything for a long time.
Yeah, for nearly 40 years, but he keeps saying these women waiting 70, 50, 40 years. He's moving in very large swaths of time. 70, 50, 40 years? Those aren't in the same ballpark. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's just jumping 20 years forward. It's
odd. He doesn't care.
He doesn't give a shit. I don't know.
Or he's unable to relate to female victims. I'm overmodulated, sorry. Then there was the point where he was talking about God. He's like, you know, a God is the only person who can tell me if this is true or not. I don't believe men. I won't believe women. Only God can show me the truth.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, so then what is the justice system for? If God is the only person who can reveal the truth in any criminal case...
Jesus was not in court today. We have to rule this party not guilty. Sorry, guys. Like, what the fuck?
The Academy has the right to acknowledge whomever they choose.
to invite whomever they choose, begging for acknowledgement or even asking diminishes dignity, Chris. I will not be at the Academy Awards and I won't be watching.
Hashtag Oscars so white. Should we start at that? Yeah, so there's been so much racial stuff to talk about this week, but that's just not what our podcast is about.
Yeah, fuck it. It's what we're about.
I mean, yeah, but like, I don't want to talk about it from the angle that everybody else is talking about it. Which is why we're talking about Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, I got you. I mean, yeah, we don't have to get into Oscars so white, because people
yeah.
are doing it.
Yeah, everybody's talked about it. So if you don't know what it is, listen to a different fucking podcast, man.
You gotta be nicer to people. If you don't know what it is, please do a nice Google search and inform yourself. And we'll see you again next week.
It's a podcast. I'm sorry, it's a podcast. I'm so used to saying that. It's a hashtag in response to... It happened last year, and it happened this year again, because I guess no black people were nominated for, like, anything this year in the Oscars. And, yeah, or at least any of the major categories. So Jada Pinkett Smith, after the nominations were released this video in which she was calling for a boycott of the Oscars, just her own personal, but she said that she was going to personally boycott the Oscars, and she proposed the question that maybe, black people should stop seeking validation in this, like, white institution or whatever, and kind of just, like, do our own thing. I have a lot of opinions on that, but whatever. Yeah. So after she said that, a lot of people were coming at Jada Pinkett Smith in response to what she said. Some people were agreeing, some people were like, I'm gonna boycott as well. So then this lady, fucking Patricia Arquette, just comes the fuck out of nowhere. Sorry, Alexis Arquette. I don't know why I had Patricia Arquette written down. Okay. So Alexis Arquette is a transgender actress or whatever. And I don't know what she's been in, really, but it's not really shade, I just don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know either.
Should we read this whole thing?
Yeah, I'll read it.
It was just all bullshit to me.
Here is the bullshit. Oh, it's complete and total bullshit. All right, so this is Alexis Arquette on Jada and Will deciding to...
Just white people had things to say.
It's funny what white people say.
All so wrong.
It's disgusting. All right, so here it is. Alright, so when Jada comes out as gay and her beard husband admits his first marriage ended when she walked into him butt-servicing his sugar daddy, Benny Medina, then I will listen to them. Will threw a fit on the set of 6 Degrees of Separation when he was required by the scene to kiss Anthony Rapp. He persuaded the director to shoot the back of his head in frame, blocking the non-existent lip lock entirely. F him, or I assume it's F him because it's blurred out. Gays have enemies. They lurk in gilded closets. Outing is healthy. You are either with or against us. You decide today. So there's so many issues here.
There is, like, just outing from... We could dissect line by line. What?
Let's do it. There's not that many sentences
yeah.
in here.
Okay, so when Jada comes out as gay and her husband admits blah, 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 some fucking... Then I will listen to them. That's like... That's first of all... Why, if you had such a problem with, like, what she's insinuating here is that Jada Smith, well, she doesn't say anything about Jada Pinkett Smith being homophobic, but she's saying that Will Smith is homophobic because he's gay and he's scared to come out. That's what she's saying or whatever.
And because they can't come out, they're not credible people.
Exactly. Because they can't come out, they're not credible people. And then also, like, what she's saying is just, like, a deflection tactic for what Jada said in the first place. Like, if you had such an issue with at least Will Smith being a homophobe, why didn't you bring that up ever before? Why are you bringing that up now when Jada Pinkett Smith is talking about the lack of representation of people of color in the media?
And that's what it is, because
That's what fucking white people always do. And it's really annoying.
Exactly. It's like, oh, you have a specific issue? Well, let me bring up...
All the other issues that have ever existed.
And say, these are
not at any other time, not at any other fucking time, but I care so much, but I'm never going to bring it up except for when you have something to say. That's such bullshit.
At what point were you ever a white lives activist? Were you an actual, like, gay rights activist?
Exactly.
Never.
Exactly.
You bring this shit up because you don't want to hear about issues that other people are facing. It makes you uncomfortable, and you have nothing to back your discomfort except for the possible idea that you might be racist. and you can't face right. that, and therefore you have to find issue with what everybody else is saying or what people of color or queer people are saying. It's because you can't be racist, therefore everybody else has to be wrong. You can't be sexist, everybody else has to be wrong. And it's exactly. it just comes out in so many fucking forms, and I hate it.
I hate it, too. I hate it, too. I just...
Gays have enemies. Gay people... They're also black gay people. Like
there are, yeah, exactly, exactly. You're either with us or against us. Like, you're either black or you're gay. That's kind of what I took that as. And that's disturbing. She's fucking probably one of the LGBT people who don't support black or brown or Asian LGBT people, which LGBT people of color talk about all the fucking time. From what I saw, the response was not taken very well by LGBT people of color. What she said. I think she deleted what she said off of Facebook in the first place. The middle chunk of what she said was just like weird outing and rumory stuff, which why the fuck is that your business? Outing is not healthy at all. That's what causes people to fucking not want to come out because it doesn't feel safe. You're choosing to disclose a certain part of someone's being without their consent. Outing is very violent. Who knows what backlash can come after you out someone? I'm sure she didn't want to be outed before she told everyone that she was a transgender woman. Ugh, just all really disgusting. And it's like, why'd you say that? And like, who the fuck are you, really? You're fucking Patricia Arquette's goddamn sister. Nobody cares.
It doesn't qualify you to be a moral voice.
Exactly. You're not a moral voice. Just the term outing is healthy was very disturbing to me. It's not. And then afterwards, like, in the comments, she said something along the lines of, outing is healthy, she said outing is healthy, too many gay teens committing suicide. I think a lot of gay teens commit suicide after they're fucking outed. Do you not see, like, the logical flaw in what you just said?
Yeah. Ew. So I wonder, was Alexis high? Was Alexis drunk? Like, sometimes you're... I'm always curious. Like, were you sober? Like,
it's just kind of seemed like an intention whore-y thing to do, honestly. Like, here is somebody talking about something, and I don't want to talk about it, so let's, like, spill tea. That's what it seemed like to me.
Ugh. Yeah, it's like, if you never aligned yourself with us, and, like, you, even Alexis, you're
that, that's
even
so weird. What do you mean, us? There's not a fucking gay army, bro. What?
Exactly. And even her conception of a gay army, a gay us, does not include black people.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Include Hispanic people or Asian people.
Nope. Ugh. Either with us or against us. That was strange. It just, like, reminds me of, like, how before gay marriage had been legalized across all 50 states, a lot of, like, lesbian and gay people, especially white lesbian and gay people, would just be like, let's just focus on the marriage thing right now. We'll get to your other problems a little bit later. Can we all just stand for this united force that we're trying to get to right now or whatever? And it's like, can't we work on everyone's issues at once? I don't know. That's like a white LG thing that people like to do.
Yeah, it's a very privileged thing as well.
It's extremely privileged thing. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, we actually have a video about this if you want to check out our Audre Lorde Project collaboration, the National Trans Day of Action video. We kind of discussed this a little bit with trans activists.
Yeah.
Because it's like the same conversation, just with, I don't know, just another stupid voice in the mix.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just all weird. Fucking the woman who played Dexter's psychologist on Dexter. I don't know if you ever watched Dexter. But, she said something along the lines of, she said, Oscar's so, no, Julie Delpy. Who is Julie Delpy? Give me 1 second. I know I'm just, you're just like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. And I'm just like rambling off random names. Julie Delpy is, she's just in all of this fucking, she's this French lady. Is she French? Yes. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. I'll reel it back in. I'm reeling it all back in. Yeah, she's a French actress. The only thing I've ever seen her in was 2 Days in New York, which is this film with Chris Rock or whatever. But she had said that women... She says, sometimes I wish I were African American because Hollywood dumps on women the most. And it's like, what about black women? Like, what are you talking about? It's the literal erasure. It's like, there's black people, and there's women. What? Like, do you not understand the implications of what you're saying? Transgender athletes will no longer be required to undergo gender reassignment surgery in order to participate in the Olympics. Woo!
Yeah. The only requirement is hormone therapy.
Yes. So in the past, people were required to, obviously, like, F to M people had to, like, I guess, do, like, get penises and do top surgery and stuff like that. And M2F people had to, like, remove their testicles and their penises and all those things. Yeah, so that's good for a number of reasons. The first being that, one, not all athletes want to do that, first of all. Not all transgender people want to remove their genitals or change their genitals. You can happily identify as a woman and have a penis. Sorry if that bothers you, but it's true.
I was about to say that I kind of shuddered when you say, like, yeah, you gotta move your testicles, your balls, you know, it was just such, like, a flippant way to, I don't want to do that.
Sometimes this shit hurts. Some people want to do that, some people don't, so whatever. Some people want to do that, but it's expensive, because that's, like, an incredibly invasive surgery, so some people can't actually afford to do that, but still want to compete in the Olympics and maybe, like, win Olympic prize money to do that in the future. And the third being that it just made no fucking sense. Your genitals don't impact your athletic ability at all. One of the fears that people had, like, I guess on the board of directors or whatever, was that, I guess, transgender women with testicles, like, their testicles would keep coursing testosterone through their body, and testosterone and estrogen do affect your athletic ability because testosterone allows you to, like, build muscle more. But there are ways to block that via hormone therapy without having to remove your testicles at all. So surgery is, like, totally not necessary. And they're, like, getting in line with what the NCAA does, which is, like, the, I guess, what does that stand for? National Collegiate Athletic Association. They have the same requirements where it's just hormone therapy. No gender reassignment surgery is necessary. So, yeah, things are advancing in the world and shit like that.
Yeah, I appreciate that a bunch.
Yeah, me too.
Hello, my name is Christian Rutter, and I was one of the founders of OkCupid. It's now one of the biggest dating sites in the United States. Like almost everyone at the site, I was a math major, and as you might expect, we're known for the analytic approach we have taken to love.
Now we're going to finish up our new segment with some OkCupid end-of-year results.
Yes, so OkCupid tallies and gathers all this information from the people who use their dating app and their dating site, so they have a couple of fun facts. Like, they released this whole report, we can link to it, but yeah. So what are some things about this report that stood out to you?
I think, to be honest, the fact that hey is the worst opener, like, you're 86% likely to be ignored if you just say hey.
84%, but yeah. That stood out to me too, because I was like, yep, that's a fucking fact. Don't say hey. I just think it's annoying. It's different for, okay, I feel like you're about to say that's what I say on Tinder, or when you ever use.
That's what I say to people. I just say hey. And I am ignored 84% of the time, so it's true.
What is that, 22%? Or is that 12%? I don't know how to do math.
Very few people 16. Will respond to me when I say yes. Hey. In real life and digitally. I look at my dad. Hey, nothing.
That's funny. A lot of people on OkCupid are feeling Bernie Sanders.
Good. Apparently, right. The majority of women under 35 are also feeling Bernie Sanders.
I hope he fucking beats Hillary Clinton, man.
It would be a long stretch, but I hope so too.
But would it be a long stretch at this point? Like, I feel like if just, like, minorities and women vote for Bernie Sanders, like, get it out of your head that you think that, just because Hillary Clinton is a woman means that she has your best interest in mind.
Oh, man.
Like, if you could just get that out of your head, and we all voted for Bernie Sanders, this country would be a little bit better. I don't think he's perfect by any means or whatever, but in terms of picking the best of, what's that term? Lesser of two evils? Lesser of several evils, just because I don't believe in anything this country stands for. Maybe I'll just shut up right now. Like, I just don't believe in the system at all. And Bernie Sanders is, like, problematic in his own, but Hillary Clinton is even more problematic, and, like, Republicans are even more problematic. So I would just vote for Bernie Sanders. So I hope it happens. I don't know. What were you going to say?
John and I were talking about, or John brought up this point, that people are, like, a lot of people will criticize Bernie Sanders for not standing with black people or whatever, or, like, not addressing black issues. But just the idea that, like, how does Bernie Sanders, like, wanting to work on healthcare, housing, and like a living wage, how are those not issues that affect black people? Like, I think the way that people discuss issues with candidates is very skewed and strange. Like, the Hillary, if she's a woman, she'll support you, like, support her kind of thing. The way that people think about candidates is not very logical to me.
Well, I mean, it is disturbing how he does eliminate black people from his conversation. Because I don't, like, he can talk, I don't, those things will obviously help black people, but if he's not incorporating how they specifically can help black people in the conversation, then I don't know how he's actually going to go about what he's planning to do, you know?
I'm not entirely sure, because I have to hear more of him speak. I've only heard him in a few debates. But it's just, like, it seems like the things that he proposes are affecting, like, working class, lower class people. It'll be majority black people that these things will affect. And he's also, yeah, I have to hear more of how he speaks and how Hillary speaks, because I feel like a lot of people don't criticize Hillary for the same things that they criticize Bernie for.
No, I don't think that's true at all. I think that people who are criticizing Bernie Sanders have long since realized that Hillary Clinton is not the candidate for them. I think they're just lighting a fire under Bernie Sanders' ass specifically because they know that this is the candidate that is going to speak to their issues, so they want him to actually address their issues. Like, back in, like, a couple of months ago when a couple of Black Lives Matter people stormed the Bernie Sanders stage, and they had also spoke to Hillary Clinton or whatever, and a lot of people were like, well, why aren't you doing that to Republicans? They actually stated that it's a specific tactic that they're using. I forgot what they called the tactic, but they said, like, they specifically target the candidates that they know will be benefiting them so that they can, like, drive those issues further. Because if you're going to go on Donald Trump's stage or whatever and ask him to incorporate your specific race or whatever, your gender, into his agenda, he's not going to do it at all, you know? I forgot what they said it was called, though.
Okay. I think it's an interesting tactic, only because I think that, like, I don't know, it ends up making the person that you think is the best option look really bad to other people, to people that might want, because, for example, if you see, like, if you're, to the people that, like, your demographic, your personal demographic, like, if they also think Bernie Sanders might be a good person, but they see you only criticizing Bernie for certain black rights issues, whereas you don't see Hillary Clinton being criticized for the same things, it would seem to me, like, Hillary was the better option because you're getting all up on Bernie's case.
I mean, but if you actually listen to what the people are saying, like, if you looked at what people have written, the people who are, like, really pushing for Bernie Sanders to incorporate black issues into his policy or whatever, if you, like, have read whatever they've said about Hillary Clinton, they've completely denounced Hillary Clinton. So it's, like, really a matter of don't take what you just see scrolling through Facebook at face value, but actually do the research for yourself. Like, it's not those people's it's not their responsibility to paint Bernie Sanders in the best light and, like, put him on this shining rock or whatever. They're criticizing everybody. If you're only seeing the fact that they're criticizing Bernie Sanders, you're not, like, doing the research on your own. So,
no, which is true. I haven't thought much about the way that Hillary and Bernie are being treated. Just new thoughts. They're just new thoughts.
Serial rapist ex-cop Daniel Holtzclaw, who preyed on and sexually assaulted black women in the neighborhood he patrolled, was sentenced to 263 years in prison.
All right, so pop some champagne or silently have a moment of silence for justice. Daniel Holtzclaw was sentenced to 263 years in prison.
Yeah.
For counts of rape and assault.
Yes, so, formally sentenced.
That... Yeah, so that is justice served in this particular case with this with that guy, you know?
Yes, does it keep seeking justice in other cases. When you hear about something like that, like, the reason why this story went so big really is because black women shared the fucking shit out of it and have been doing so for the past year and a half, I think. So when you see something, when you see something, like, look into it or whatever and note the fact that, like, somebody was like, oh, did you hear about that cop who raped all those women? And, like, yes, I heard about that cop and I know what cop you're talking about, but mad cops rape mad women. Like, understand the fact that this is not existing in a vacuum. This is something that happens all the time. Abuse of power and such.
So now, on to Fuck It! Yeah! This week's topic is sexting! I don't know why I'm so happy about it.
Because you like doing it.
Sexting! I haven't done it much. I have okay. Guess the stories.
I just want to start this segment off by saying, well, I guess we should define sexting. If you don't know, sexting is,
yeah.
Do a quick Urban Dictionary search. Define sexting.
Yeah. And let me see what we personally consider
sexting. Yeah, right. Because, I don't know what sexting is. All right, here's your dictionary. Sexting is defined as sending sexy pictures and sexual message using cell phone text. An example of sexting is a couple sending naked pictures to one another with their cell phones. I guess that's what sexting... Urban Dictionary says the act of text messaging someone in hopes of having a sexual encounter with them later, initially casual, transitioning to highly suggestive. Okay. What's your definition of sexting?
I feel like it has to be more intense than flirting. So I think it has to be... Although, like, some people might flirt hardcore. Like, what if you're like... I think once you start describing how you want things to play out, then that's sexting.
That's what I think sexting is as well. And in that case, have I ever really sexted anyone? I don't know.
Like, what's the most, like, flirty thing you've said before it was explicit? Like, on the scale of flirt okay. to...
Okay. All right, so when I was younger, back in the heyday, like, before I was sexually active at all, there was this thing called cyber sex. And you would, like... Something the kids don't know about. It was like sexting, but like nobody had a cell. Like people had cell phones, but I didn't talk to anybody on my cell phone because it was like a Virgin Mobile. So I was like talking to strangers on the internet on like internet relay chats and stuff like that. And you would have like friends in your internet relay chat, but you didn't really know who they were because they were like your online friends. And then like sometimes in the chat, you would just like start flirting with somebody, and somebody would be like, "Hey, you want a cyber?" And you would like cyber sex with them. And that's like what I was doing then when I was 12 is what I consider sexting now, just over the cell phone. But I don't do it now. Yeah, and it was like really in depth, like. Like, really just acting it out, and then acting it out, like, in the present tense. Like, right now, I'm sitting on your face, and you're making me so wet. I probably didn't say that, because I didn't really care about face sitting at the time, because I didn't know how great it was. But, yeah, right? And then, like, eventually I stopped, just because, like, I don't know, I kind of started to think about, like, who the fuck am I really talking to? Like, is this, like, a 34-year-old man, and I'm 12? And then one time, somebody said something really weird to me. Like, we just started... And he or she, or they, I don't know who the fuck they really were, was like, I'm gonna put on my, I'm gonna put on my rhino suit and fuck the shit out of you. And I was just like, what is a rhino suit? I just didn't know what it meant. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't know what it means. So weird. Why did he say that? To this day, I don't know. And now I think I'm a grown person, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what a rhino suit is?
I can only imagine.
Is it just him dressed up as...
I think that's what it is. I know people do that. They're furries that they dress up as...
But rhinos aren't furry.
You're right. But I imagine in the same
vein.
They're
just skin. I didn't know if it was like an extension of his dick or... I just didn't know. So, that was my... That's my first encounter with sexting. And then I wanted to, like, sext with Akeem. And it was just weird. Like, I would, like, say something, like, ooh, I want to do that to you. And he would just, like, put a smiley face and shit like that. So he never, like, really played along. And then one time I was just like, why don't you ever want to sex with me? And I don't remember what the answer I got was, but he just wasn't with the shit or whatever. And then now, I just feel like I've been out of the game for so long. I feel super uncomfortable with it. Like, I never really know what to say, honestly. Yeah.
That's also, I guess I have, like, similar things to the not knowing what to say. Because I'm a certain kind of texter, I think. It's so funny, because my sexy story I told, like, 2 weeks ago. It'll be 2 weeks ago at this time, I guess. About sexting Sick Dick was the most explicit. And it was great. I didn't even say much. I didn't say that much. I just made jokes.
He carried it. Right, that's what I do a lot. Or I just get very, like, formal in my speech. Like, such and such and such, if you would like. And it's like, when I'm saying it, I'm like, why the fuck am I saying this? And I'm, like, hardly ever turned on while I'm really saying it. Well, sometimes I am. I can't, like, get into it. Like, I don't quite get the point as it relates to me. Like, I don't know what the end goal is. Like, is it just, like, a sexy conversation? Or, like, if it is, like, everyone playing out a scene, like, are you supposed to, like, come in the end? Like, am I supposed to actually be jerking off as you're saying this? And what if you're not very good, which a lot of people aren't, in terms of, like, writing? So...
I think in an article I read, it was talking about, like setting the expectations up first.
Oh my god, yes, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was like a 4 a.m. thing. Like, if you're going to be sexing him, like, if they live near you and it's possible to have some sex go down, like, you have to figure out if this is just leading up to you guys meeting up. Because then if you just, like, come on over and they're like, oh, I'm tired, you had two different expectations about how...
Like, I just don't look good right now, or I don't want to come over. That happens too sometimes.
Yeah, like, I just want to chat. Like, I was sexting John maybe 2 days ago, and it was funny because it started off very coupley, because I was like, what are you wearing? And he was like, well, I haven't showered since we jogged this morning. And it just got like...
Yeah, you can't be that honest. But
He was like, I'm wearing 3 layers of leggings, 2 pairs of socks. Just finished washing the dishes. I'm like, thanks. But then it ended with John coming while I was at work, so.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. It progressed, I don't know.
It progressed 2 pictures. Because I think you can tell somebody, that's what they're doing, and you can tell them to touch themselves as they're texting you. And that's, I think that's, yeah, that's like a way to set expectations.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I used to send Akeem pictures. I don't think he would jerk off to them, like, at the moment. I would actually usually email them, because I was taking them on my laptop and on my phone. And then after that, after, like, open relationship, I don't really send pictures. I sent a picture in my bra recently, but I don't send nudes anymore, because I'm scared. And I don't think I've ever... received a dick pic of anyone's dick ever, and I don't want to, so if you're hearing this, don't send it, because I don't want it. Yeah, I feel like I'm a prude when it comes to sexting.
Maybe. It's just what you're comfy with. When I was sexting John, so I've only sexted twice in something that I consider sexy sexting. Mm-hmm. Although, and like when I was sexting John, it started off with being silly, then to talking about what we both liked, and then it went into an actual scene, and then he was like, this is how hard I am right now, like, actually, and I was like, you know, well, then why don't you touch yourself, and he was just like, already am, and then it proceeded from there.
Interesting. Were you speaking in, like, what tense were you speaking in? That really gets to me for some reason. Like, is it present, past, or future tense?
And this is where people are going to be like, you'll never be a writer, Shanika, you don't know grammar. It was in, like, I guess the future tense? Yeah, it was future tense, because it's like, I asked, you know, what would you do to me if I was there right now? And it was like, I would do this. And it switched tenses, though. But it wasn't very...
It ever like, I'm doing this right now?
Nope, you're right. It's future tense.
And maybe sometimes it's I'm doing this right now, and that just makes me feel weird. Yeah, I just, it's just, it's like me not, it's like my lack of imagination or something like that.
Yeah, because that's, role-playing is a skill. Like, there's whole entire games where people are forging worlds, and sometimes, I don't know, when we were doing it, I was just thinking about, you know, things that we've done that I really loved, and I'm like, ah, you know, it would be nice if that happened. And then you can move from, you know, you could kiss the back of my thighs, then you know what else you can do? You can keep going upwards, and...
Okay, so, you know, I imagine your sexting with John is pretty good because, like, you're a good writer, and I imagine John's a good writer just because he's getting his fucking PhD right now. And then the other kid you're sexting, I know for a fact that he's a good writer, I won't say why. So have you ever sexted anyone else?
That's like it.
Damn, so you're like in a really good zone because everyone can write. But when people can't write, it's just like, oh, God.
Because John is also very, like, fine. He's like, he was talking, he used the word vulva instead of vagina or pussy, you know? He's like very.
How did that make you feel?
It's, because that's how we refer to our body parts. Like, we're very, I don't refer to my pussy as my pussy, although.
It is, in fact, your pussy.
I'll just be like, what do I say? Maybe I don't say lady bits. I say my vag, but then I always feel uncomfortable because it's really my vulva that I'm referring to. So I guess I'm always uncomfortable.
But just perpetually.
But I'd rather, I'm more turned on by scientifically accurate. Although,
okay, that's good.
Thick referred to my lady zone as my pussy, and I was like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know.
I'm fine with pussy. I don't so much mean, like, the phrases that you do use or whatever, like, interchanging pussy for vulva and stuff like that, but more so, like, how you can really paint a scenario.
Ah. I think that is when, like, writing.
Like, I'm licking your clit. That just kind of bores me a little bit. I don't know. I just don't. And then I just, like, don't know what to, like, what am I supposed to say? Like, what am I supposed to say to that? That's really what it is. It's always just, like, me staring at the text, like, what the fuck am I supposed to say to this?
And I think that is why I am the interview type of texter, a sexter. Because I just ask people to keep going. Like, okay, and what else?
Go on. Go on. I don't want it to... I would prefer if it wouldn't, like, veer into, like, a scene type thing. Because I just... I don't know. Maybe I'll never be ready for that. Or maybe the rhino situation just fucked my whole life up and I can never go into that. But I would just rather, like, you say... Like, just talk about yourself. Talk about what you're good at or whatever, you know? Just, like, describe yourself as a pussy eater. But don't describe how you're eating my pussy right now. Because then I have to respond to what I'm doing right now.
And I'm, like, not doing anything.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just sitting here, like, maybe MTV Jams is on or whatever. Maybe I'm scrolling through Twitter, but I'm not really doing anything. I'm not really touching myself. yeah, so... And that is sexting. It's just, like, it's sexual correspondence. It doesn't have to be a scene or pictures. Sexting is what you want it to be.
And ultimately, it's all just texting, you know?
Right, it is all just texting. Oh, just God.
Texting people. In terms of like, if you're gonna go for the painting the scene role play, I think I think people who aren't good at writing might just be at a disadvantage there, because
yeah, you should probably just not do it, bro.
Because when Thick Dick was like, you know, want my head between your thighs, licking your pussy, watching the orgasm wash over you, I was like, whoa, ho, ho, ho.
See, that's good. Yeah,
it was a full image. It was a full
exactly. Image. You gotta paint the full picture. It can't just be like, I'm licking your pussy.
Exactly. It's like, like, where you are. Like, where are you? How hard are you doing it? How soft is it?
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Man. What are you seeing? What's happening?
What I'll be doing? That's also nice. Like
you're... You're squirming. Yeah. I want to get back to that point of what you said about when John was honest about what he was wearing. That's cool because you guys are in an established relationship. But if you're, like, there's just, like, a thin line because, like, it's annoying when you have sex with someone after you've sexted and they're, like, saying all of this freak shit. And then they're just like, Like, somebody was like, oh, I love to eat pussy or whatever. And just, like, talking about all their pussy eating skills. And then, like, he went down on me. It was just like, lickety lick, 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 lick. Done. And I was like, the fuck? That was quite a letdown. Yeah. So I, like, I, on one hand, I want the person to be honest. But then one time this kid was, like, too honest. And he told me, like, that he comes fast.
I feel like you want to market yourself to some degree. Like, don't shit on yourself.
Although, don't shit on yourself. But maybe he didn't think that was shitting on himself. Maybe he was just like, she'll have a good time. While it lasts.
I did have my asthma comments during the thick dick sex. And it was like, it didn't seem... It
okay, I mean, you anything. Can be honest, but you have to, like, couch that in...
In something skills. Sexy. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Exactly. You just can't say that you come fucking like what? Oh god. See, that's why I just rather not do it. Like, I can see why people receive dick pics, so it's like, you know, is this adequate enough for me when I get there? Although, you know, the length of the dick doesn't really mean anything, because you can still be very bad or whatever. But I can see that, but just like sexting, I don't know. If they're not good at writing, I don't know if I see the point personally. That's just for me though.
And yeah, because there's also sexy things that can be brought up, like I don't know, when people say that they appreciate me or certain things about me. Like, it doesn't have to be explicitly sexual to be arousing. But I wonder, like, would we count in our context? Like, I guess we don't have it's like fuckboy. There's no like solid definition of sexting.
Yes,
but like if someone. Someone, oh, when someone called me perfect, I was like, oh, like my heart exploded.
Oh, yeah. I love to be called perfect.
And I was a little aroused.
Because I am.
So, that worked out.
Exactly.
And then, I think following up on your point about honesty, which followed up on my point about honesty, my fear is that I won't be able to live up to whatever sexiness I'm putting out there. Like, I'm not saying that I can do crazy things. Like, I have said... I'm good at bending over, I'm good at sucking dick, and I'm sure that I can follow through on those things, you know?
Yeah.
I have confidence. But, like, my fear is that, like, the sexy banter won't flow as easily, because I'll be like, I don't know how to use my arms, and I forgot.
Let's talk about inappropriate times to sex, maybe.
I think it's only inappropriate sexting someone if it makes you uncomfortable or them uncomfortable. Otherwise, you should be able to sex at all.
Yes. All right, so how do you, like, navigate that? Like, if somebody starts sexting you and you're just, like, with John, for example, or with Akeem, for example, do you just be like, with Akeem right now, please stop? Or
like, yeah, can't do this right now, I'm... Yeah, I feel like honesty. Or if I'm, like, dying of cramps, I'm not going to be, like... I just can't pretend sometimes.
Right, if you're on your period, yeah, right. So you just be honest. And then it's awkward. Okay, so, like, on Facebook, you can see when the person has read your messages. And then, like, on iPhone, you can, like, turn your read receipts on so that the person can see when you read their messages or whatever. And I'm never going to turn that off because I'm a bitch and I want people to know when I'm ignoring them. But it's weird when you're sexting and they, like, see that you've read it. And then, you know, what do you do when you're just, because you're awkward and you don't know how to reply? And it's like 15 minutes later, and they know that you were thinking about it for 15 fucking minutes. Like, what do you do? What do you do? My daily struggles.
I think a good solution might be to just kind of be open about, like, okay, this is hard for me because I'm not quite sure what to say.
that would kill the mood completely.
Like, sorry, I can't do this.
Sorry, I'm not adept.
My answer is give up.
Throw in the sexting towel. Just be like, here's the number to a friend who is better than this that I sex them. Because I'm not what you're looking for. It's not gonna be me. I don't really have anything else to say about sex.
Yeah, I guess that's
I'm
it.
I'm bad at it.
I'm bad at it. Sex me. If anyone wants to sex me for fun, I'm open to it. You just have to be trustworthy. Now on to Fuck Me!
Fuck Me! The segment in which we talk about
you sounded like one of those Sesame Street characters, like the Cookie Monster.
Fuck me!
Nice job.
Thanks.
Oh no.
Been working on my voice acting.
Alright, so, do you want to go first? Should I go first?
Ugh, mine is like dark.
Okay, let's start with the dark, and then we can end with the light, because mine is not at all... Mine is not very happy, but it's not sad. Or
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't think mine is... Well, some of it's sad. It's just like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on with my vagina. Alright, so, Speak was like mad... Emotionally taxing, I guess. Okay, so if you don't know, and I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast before, one of my very, very close family members has cancer. And that's, like, why I'm unemployed and stuff like that. That's why I joke about not making any money and staying home all the time and doing nothing, because I stay home with them. So, like, in the beginning of the week, I guess Monday, we, like, went to see her oncologist or whatever, and I won't get into too much detail, but the oncologist was just like, there's some fucked up shit going on here, and we had to, like, go see another doctor. But that's all just, like, draining and taxing, because I don't drive, and she can't drive, and it's just, like, a cab situation. So the next day we had to, like, go see this other doctor, figure shit out, and it was just, like, doctor, doctor. And the next day I had a doctor's appointment, because I did a pap smear a couple of weeks back and, like, got tested for all the shit or whatever, and I needed to get my results. So it was, like, the third day that I was in the doctor's office, and fucking, it's like the worst doctor that I've ever been to in terms of wait time. Like, it's like a fucking, it was like a 2 hour wait from when I arrived.
Oh my God.
I don't know what your, yeah, I don't know what your worst has ever been, but it's never been that bad for me. It's just like, if the appointment actually can't be at 1 o'clock, just tell me when to get there.
Exactly.
Like, I don't, it doesn't take me that long to get there. It's like up the block. Just tell me when I should get there and don't let me like, squirm around in the office watching fucking Wendy Williams for 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like 2 hours in, and I go to the back, and there's like this general area in the back where the nurses will like do your weight and your blood pressure and talk to you and all that shit or whatever. And then afterwards, like if they need to do exams or talk to you, they'll go in the room. So like one of the nurses is like talking to me in the main area, and she's like scrolling through my results or whatever, and she's like, yeah, she's like, yeah, let me just take you in the room. And I'm like, oh fuck, well, I guess I'm going to die. Just like making the funeral arrangements right there, my own funeral arrangements. And then she like takes me in the room, and this is like a very nice lady, but she's just like not good at discretion at all. So that my gynecologist comes in the room, and then she's like, she sits down and she's like looking at the results, and then the nurse is like, yeah, I just put her in the room because I wasn't sure about the pap smear. And I'm like, well, there it goes. A bitch has cervical cancer up in here. Gonna die. So then the gynecologist is like scrolling through whatever. And then we're talking about the fact that my family member has cancer or whatever. It's just all like, oh, God, there's so many emotions right now. And then what I didn't know is that my period was coming, and that like always affects my emotions or whatever. That always like makes me feel low and sinky and whatever. So she's like, well, first of all, you have BV, and that's fine. It's like niggas always get BV. BV is like a fucking, it's like a constant.
It's my
if you're
best
a woman.
Friend.
Like one, right, like most people get BV and have BV all the time or whatever. So she like puts me on an antibiotic. I'm like, whatever. And then she's like, and your pap smear came back abnormal. And I'm like, oh fuck, what does that even mean? Jesus. So she says that there was like low grade abnormalities, and so there's like two types of things that can happen. There can be a high grade abnormality and like a low grade abnormality, and the acronym for the low grade abnormality is LSIL, and I'm just reading this from Wikipedia honestly, and that means low grade squamous intra epithelial lesion, and basically a lesion is like an area of odd tissue or whatever. So that basically means that when they did the pap smear, there are weird areas of my cervical tissue or whatever. And that can be caused by a number of things, and it usually is caused by an HPV infection. And HPV is a sexually transmitted infection or whatever. And I feel like on most people, it just clears up, but sometimes it doesn't or whatever. but yeah, whatever. How you find it out is taking a pap smear and they see it and your tissue is weird. So basically she said that I'm young, like I'm only 23, and that on most people it just goes away on its own. But she wants to do a biopsy, which is when you take a piece of tissue from an organ or whatever on my cervix to see what's really going on, to see if like the other, like the deeper tissue is like transforming or whatever, because that could be a sign of cervical cancer in the future. And as she's saying this or whatever, she's just like, you know, most people, it just clears up on its own. And there's like a scale, and you're like all the way over here on the scale where it's like a little bit abnormal. It's not cancerous and it's not even precancerous. It's a little bit abnormal, but just as precaution wise, we need to check this out. And then on the outside, I'm like, yeah, sure. And inside, I'm like, fuck, I don't want to hear anything about cancer right now. Like, my family member fucking has cancer. And then, like, my grandma died from cancer like 3 years ago. So it's just like, two female family members who have cancer. Oh my God, I'm freaking out. Everything's bad. So, like, in my heart or whatever, like, logically, I know that there's probably nothing wrong. Like, 90% of people who, after their pap smear comes back, it comes back with this LSIL shit. It, like, goes away and is usually fine. But, you know, that 10% and then, like, what's actually going on in my life? It's just all fucking scary. So I leave and I have to, like, come back, like, after my period and after I'm done with this cycle of antibiotics for BV. I'm just walking home, and I'm like, how grim would it be if two female relatives had cancer at the same time? And I'm like, I really want to get a beef patty, but I should cut out red meat from my diet because, you know, cancer and shit. I gotta come home and work out. It was just all, like, dark and grim, and, like, my period was coming, and I didn't know it, and the sky was gray because it's winter. Yeah, and it was just rough. And then, like, the fucking eat healthy thing was just out the window as soon as I got home. I just, like, sat in a corner. I fucking had cookies and milk, which isn't the best thing to do, but it's just what I needed at that time. And, like, I told my mom what was going on, and she was just like, yeah, I mean, those results come back like that often, so you don't really need to worry about anything. I'm like, yeah, mommy, I know, but, you know, you just have to, like, sometimes you just gotta be sad about it. My brother was like, Sam, what'd the doctor say? And I just shook my head and walked away. No. It was just really fucking dark.
You're dying.
And then I laid in bed for some time, did my makeup, took pictures, because that made me feel better. Yeah, now I'm just gonna, like, really just put it out of my mind until I have this biopsy. And then I was doing more research into it, and it's like, you can, like, when it comes back, LSIL, usually people wait 6 months and then do another pap smear, because usually in that time it would have cleared up, and if it still comes back like all abnormal and shit, then they'll do a biopsy. So I'm not sure if like my gyno wants to do a biopsy because my insurance is going to give her more money, and that makes me feel weird. And then I was talking to Akeem about it, and he was like, can the biopsy like affect you like when you have kids and stuff like that? And I was like, no. And I just said no for no reason. I didn't actually know. And then I was doing research, and then some people said that in the past it did affect how people have kids in the future, but science has progressed to the point where the biopsy doesn't actually affect that. But I just didn't really research it that much. So I have to still look into it, because I might just be like, maybe we should just do this pap smear in another 6 months option. Yeah, because, you know, like, it sucks, like, when you feel like you don't want to trust
your doctor,
like, healthcare provider. Yeah, exactly. But I just don't know.
Yeah, you know? You didn't have all the information you needed to make a decision.
Really. Exactly.
You had to go with whatever the doctor said was best.
Yeah, I was like, she knows what the fuck she's talking about.
It's also hard because you don't even know what kind of questions to ask.
Exactly, because I had no idea what was going on. I mean, honestly, like, I feel like in the past, like, when the HPV shot came out, I probably should have just got it then, but at the point I was, like, mad sexually inactive. And then afterwards, I was just like having sex with Akeem, and I think he had had the shot or something like that. So I was just like, well, I'm not going to get HPV here, and I'm never going to have sex with anyone ever again. And then I did start to have sex with other people, and like with protection and like no fucking slip ups or whatever until recently, but that's a story for another day. But that was actually after I took the test, or I did the pap smear or whatever. So I don't know if I even do have HPV and where it would have arise from. And then if it's not HPV, then that scares me, because it's like, well, why did this pap smear come back weird? And it's just all, oh my God.
It's a lot of questions.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. So if I wasn't like dealing with what I'm dealing with at home, I feel like it wouldn't have scared me so much, but it's just like, I don't really like to hear or talk about cancer because it's like so inundated in my life already. So yeah, all that good stuff. But all that being said, cervical cancer is one of the most preventable types of cancer amongst women in the United States because they have the HPV shot to prevent people from getting HPV and like making your cells all weird and then that progressing into cancer in the first place. And then like people get regular pap smears and stuff like that. And when pap smears come back highly irregular, they usually just like remove that part of the tissue of your cervix that is weird. So, I mean, chances are like I'm just good in general, but you don't want to hear that you might not be good.
Yeah. And I think that you're already doing everything as correctly as possible. Like, you got your results, you are researching, you're going to consult with your doctor again and figure out what's best. I think you're so on it that, you know, whatever happens, you'll be super prepared. And I don't know, I think you're a fucking champ. So I'm sorry for all the stress that this has been causing you, that it's definitely a shit ton to deal with. Definitely in one fucking week.
Right, it was like the worst week ever. And then the next day I hung out with this kid, and then the next day my period came.
The short life of my vagina.
And it just hit me so hard. Like, I was just like working out in the beginning of the day, and I was like, it's a whole new world, everything's fine. And like, I went downstairs and I got some food, and as I was eating, my stomach was just like, nah, bitch, what the fuck is going on? Looked in the bathroom and I was like, welp. And then I just napped for the rest of the day. It's been a very fucking just unproductive week. It's just sheesh. But you know, life is like that sometimes. So.
Sometimes your body, just your body, mind to rest. You just gotta be like,
right, exactly.
Like, fuck it all. I need this time for me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And now I get to spend all weekend inside because of Snowmageddon.
And I'm just like really impressed by the depth of your research. I feel like I would definitely do something similar, but you're just so just on it. And like, I'm glad that you had your milk and cookies time as well.
It was necessary. It was necessary. Thank you. Yeah. Then I have like a conversation about fuckboys, but I don't think I want to say that because it happened like 2 weeks ago. So I don't know.
It's up to you. We could say it and then you can cut it out, or if you don't want to deal with it, then
okay,
whatever.
No, it wasn't bad. So I went to Philly 2 weekends ago, I guess.
I want to hear the story.
Okay, sure. I mean, we were all drinking Hennessy. I don't remember what happened exactly. No, it wasn't anything weird. So me and my girlfriends went to visit my other girlfriend who lives in Philadelphia or whatever. And then one night we're just like, we need alcohol. Friend, invite your male friend over or whatever, this kid that she's talking to. And tell him bring niggas and alcohol. So she brought niggas and alcohol. And they were just there very briefly or whatever, but somehow the topic of my podcast came up, and by somehow I just mean I have the best friends in the world and they tell everyone about the podcast all the time for forever. So I was actually uploading last week's episode at that time because it was like the day before Martin Luther King Day or whatever. Or was it Martin? I don't remember. Whatever. They were there, and so they bring up the topic of the podcast to the guys and they're like, well, what do you talk about on the podcast? And I'm not sure why my friends answered instead of me, but we just got on the discussion of fuckboys because we talk about it so much on here.
They're everywhere.
And they were just like really questioning like what is a fuckboy and what makes a fuckboy. And basically my friend had read that definition that you read on the first episode where it was like, a man who is always interested in his sexual prospects, but is aghast of putting in any effort or whatever. And they were just like, well, what does that mean to not put in effort? And we were like when you text a woman at 2 a.m. and then you fall asleep right after. And they like try to, they seem to be putting it back on the woman as if to say, like, if you are the type of person that I'm going to fall asleep on at 2 a.m., then your box is whack, which means that your vagina is not, that your vagina is not up to par with their standards or whatever. And then we were like, but this happens. It got like very scientific, but also like stupid. Then we were like, but what about when you haven't experienced the box yet, which has happened to, you know, all of us on several occasions where the man falls asleep, but he hasn't had sex with you yet. And then they were like, it's either, you know, better box has come along, or...
which makes you a fuckboy.
Right. That's what I feel like. A better box has come along, or, you know, guaranteed box has come along. Like, guaranteed, you know that this person is good. And with you, who I haven't fucked yet, there's a gray area. So I'm gonna, like, you know, just quote-unquote fall asleep on you.
You're just explaining why they're fuckboys in the situation.
That's right. Right. That's exactly what we said. We were like, we feel that that's a fuckboy. Like, the type of guy who's gonna, like, text, like, 15 women in one night. And one of them was like, you know, we're just... when we do that 2 a.m., what are you doing text or whatever, we're just casting... multiple, I don't know what fishing is called, reels, I guess? Casting multiple reels. Filmmaker at heart. They said, we're just casting multiple nets, and whoever gets in the net, like, it can be, even if a shrimp gets in the net first, if a large tuna gets in the net, we're still going for the tuna. And I was just amazed by it all, really. I was like, you know, I'm not even judging any of you for this. I just think it's very interesting. I think you're a bad person for this. I just want to know or whatever. And then there was this one guy. There was only three guys there. One is my friend's whatever situation. And the other two are his friends. And then this one who, he had a fucking fade, you know? He had a fade. He was a fuckboy. He was like, well, in that case, I think I am a fuckboy. And we were just like, thank you for your fucking honesty or whatever. But, I mean, if he doesn't want to, that's fine. And then they pose the question, if you realize that these guys are fuckboys and you still fuck with them, does that make you a fuck girl? And my question to that, I mean, my answer to that was, no, I think that just makes you a hoe. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with the term hoe either. So I think that a fuck girl would be someone who identifies as a woman who does the exact same things that we have attributed to the fuck boy.
Agreed. I agree with that.
Yeah. And then from there, the one who was a fuck boy, he kind of fell asleep a little bit.
Of course.
He kind of, like, fell asleep a little bit. At one point, I, like, sit up and I went to get something across the room. I just felt his eyes on my entire ass. My friend said that she had felt the same. And then as he was leaving... Okay, so all of my friends are from Queens, right? And then my other friend lives in Jersey. But none of us are, like, from Philly. So they're all leaving to go to a party in Philly. And we're all in our pajamas. Like, we're in sweatpants. And the one with the fade who identifies as a fuckboy, as we're leaving, he's like, any of y'all want a ride? And it's like, who the fuck would we need a ride to? And then after he closed the door, I was like, a ride on this dick? Because that's what he meant, you know? That's really what he meant. Yeah. So it was interesting. It was like a little, into the life of a fuckboy, I guess, into the mind of a fuckboy. It was good. I like to have conversations like that. Oh, and then he said one thing. Oh, let me go on my Twitter, because I did tweet it. What did he say? If you don't have an Android or an iPhone, you're a prostitute. Put that in your podcast. So that's me putting that in my podcast.
Wait, what? Wait, I don't understand.
In his experience, when he talks to women who don't have Androids or iPhones, they are prostitutes. When they're talking, that's a burner phone. If it's not an Android or an iPhone. And I kept saying over and over again, what about a Windows phone? But nobody was answering me.
No one cares.
So I don't know. Yeah, right? It was like they couldn't even hear it. Like, it was like a low buzzing in their ear. What about...
It's just all the others. It's just been censored by the general world. We can't talk about
what yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, fascinating. That's, I feel like a fuckboy documentary would be golden.
Yeah, that's me. Fuck me. Give me a great funeral, guys. Nah, I'm just kidding.
All is well. You got all my, there's nothing I can do for you except give you my emotional support if you need it. I'm here.
That's all I need. That's all I need. Thank you.
Well, I guess in my life, where did I leave off last time? The last time we talked about John and I discussing the status of a relationship. We went to San Francisco, and after the discussion, I've been feeling better. He seems like he's been feeling a lot better, because kind of a lot of stuff that was on his mind seems to be off his mind, which is good. That makes me happy, you know, because I feel like our relationship isn't causing him a great deal of pain, which is how I felt. So I felt terrible about that, and now I feel better. So yeah, we had a good time there. Still discussing. Haven't been having more sex, I suppose. It's only been so long, though, so I can't really judge. I guess my newest dilemma is that, we're gonna start doing date nights. And, yeah, just start the traditional spicing up of things in very traditional ways. My therapist gave me a cool tool in relationship communication, which was to have a weekly check-in that is specifically about our relationship and how we feel it's going. That way, because it's always like, if I want to bring something up, all right. So here's the real point. So I have the opportunity to have sex with Thick Dick tomorrow. If people can move, get around, if I can get to his dick, I'll be honest. You know.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But at the same time, I don't know, because I haven't talked to John about it yet. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, there's never a good time. So we're actually going to talk about it right after I'm done recording.
Okay.
And I just have so many mixed feelings, because it's like, you know, should I be valuing the stability of our relationship over this opportunity? You know, if I frame it like our relationship versus this one dick, then it sounds terrible. But what it really is my, you know, sense of agency and something that I would like to do. I've been flirting with this guy for a little while, and now that the opportunity has arisen, I want to go for it. Mm-hmm. And, yes, I don't know how this conversation is going to go. I'm nervous about it. I feel like it's just going to be rough. And I don't know if I should even... Because there's... the guy listens to this podcast, so he'll know that when I'm lying to him, I'm lying to him. I won't be lying to him. I'll tell him that my conversation with my boyfriend didn't go well. So, can't make it. So, would still like to have sex with you. Mm-hmm. Eventually. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't want to wait. I guess that's it.
Yeah, I mean, because if you start waiting, it's like, did anything really change? Like, it's like, why would you wait this one time, you know? Because it means that there's still discomfort, so the situation hasn't really been resolved.
Exactly. You know? Nothing changes. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'd like to go for it. If I can go from work to his place, he just got a new apartment. Before, there was, like, nowhere where we could have sex. Because he lives with his parents, I live with my boyfriend, and he's like, I just got a new place, I'm moving in Sunday. I was like, congratulations. And he was like, I got
right on time.
And he was like, yeah, I got my own place, there are implications there. I was like, ah, that's where we sex. And so, and I'm like, yeah, so I guess that's it. So this talk that's gonna happen after this podcast, I don't know how it's gonna go, and I'm nervous about it, and there will probably be many similar talks, and we'll just see how everything is going down and happening. And I guess I'm also like, oh, my therapist asked me, you know, like, well, what do you do to stop yourself from getting feelings for this person? She was just curious. She was curious about, you know, how do I navigate the situation, protect myself? And I was like, I have no idea. So, and she was like, I'm like, do you have any tools for that? And she's like, nope, sorry. So
she doesn't know how this polyamory shit works either.
Yeah. So how do I, like, what, so your advice was to, like, think of ways, things, all the things I could possibly not know.
Yeah, just, like, ground yourself. Like, just remember, like, don't fall, I don't want to say in love with, but don't fall in like with the idea of the person, because I feel like when infatuation happens, it's like, well, this is so great, and this is what could happen or whatever, and you start to fall in like with the idea of that, kind of just remind yourself that, you know, you're taking it one day at a time and you don't know that much about him. Not that you don't know that much about him, like he might be a serial killer, just like, you just don't know that much about him, so let it happen.
It's so hard for me, though, because I fall...
Well, maybe it just happens, then, and then... That might just be the way, that might just be, like, your love style. And I don't mean love as in, like, what we think. We gotta do an episode on love.
Oh, totally. But,
yeah. I mean, that might just be the way you do things.
It's just, I wish if it wasn't like that. If you can't stop it,
just let it.
I wish it... just cut my dick off.
And then also, like, the more you interact with people in a romantic way, because you haven't interacted with that many people in a romantic way in which it's been requited...
That's my life, yeah.
Because you're such a loser. No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But the more you interact with people, like, maybe the more, like, you're... I don't know, you'll be able to, like, ground yourself in the beginning phases of dating and stuff like that. Because I too find myself, like, liking people very fast. I just don't show it because I have no inflection in my voice. But,
No one would know.
No one knows.
Kim yeah. has no idea.
He doesn't know how much I fucking love him. Yeah.
No, that is a good observation. Because I feel like I am new to the dating game. I have not had many interactions. And every time, it's like I always think, you know, what do I do with my arm? Like, what if it's in a weird position? That was it for Fuck Me. Now, on to
Fuck You!
Woo!
Yeah. Okay, this is the segment where we... read your questions, your comments, your concerns, your sex confessions, your sex stories. Send all that good shit and more to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's ihupodcast@gmail.com. All right, you want me to read this one?
Yeah.
All right, our story today is from Monica. Monica is 24 years old. Monica writes, I was dating this guy who was an asshole. Should have known he was an asshole from this moment, but I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I was 18 at a best friend's house at a little bro gathering for another friend's birthday. And I'm wavy, and my at-the-time boyfriend was wavy, and we go to the bathroom and start messing around. At this time, I've never given head for longer than 5 minutes, but he wanted it, and I was all about the love. Ugh. So I'm giving him head in this little-ass bathroom, and everything is cool. And also, mind you, at the time, I have also never had semen near my face before that. So he's humping my face, going and going faster, and my gag reflex is holding on for dear life. And then suddenly, without warning, he comes. In my mouth. While he has me deep-throating him. And I immediately vomited everything, all over the sink, toilet, and floor. And he's like, I didn't warn you, so I cried. LMAO. Hashtag sad sex lives.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
Wait.
That's really oh no.
That is. I've never.
That's fucked.
Have you ever deep throated?
Yeah, it's been in my throat. It's not, I mean, I don't think it's been all the way in my throat, but it's been in my throat. I don't like it. I really don't enjoy it. But I have never vomited though. And I've never had someone come in my throat.
I would never want someone to come in my throat.
Yeah, I don't think I particularly want that. Which is not to say that coming in your throat is a bad thing, but I feel like that's something you should discuss with your partner before you do it.
Yeah, I was more disturbed like that he didn't warn her that it was happening.
Yeah, I am disturbed that he didn't warn her. And he is a fucking asshole. Yeah, I mean... I was talking to this one person a couple of months ago, and they were like, they did something similar without warning the girl, and was turned on by the fact that she, like, convulsed while he was nutting inside her. So I feel like people do enjoy it as a power thing, but power things are one thing when you have consent from the person. It's another thing when you don't have consent from the person, and that's when it becomes fucked up. Like, imagine if, like, you're, like, riding someone's face, like, your poon is in their face or whatever, and then all of a sudden you just, like, start fucking suffocating them. That's, like, not cool unless you talked about the fact that you were going to do that beforehand. You can't just do it. Yeah. It's, like, fucked up.
Yeah, I'm unhappy about that. And so is she. But I would be pissed. And also, no one wants to throw up. That's embarrassing, because now she feels...
Yeah, right. She's thrown up, not even at... her own house. It's just all...
Yeah, and you were both supposed to be having fun.
Exactly. And he's had fun, and she is yeah, been really kind of like humiliated a little bit.
Yeah, and like you're only be humiliated if that's what you want.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Unconsenting humiliation is not cool.
That's an interesting. I guess that's an interesting concept. It's like you can consent to having sex, and then there are several things you consent to as you are having sex as well. So just because someone says, "Yeah, we can do this," don't assume that you can do all these other little things or take these little liberties.
Exactly.
Like, you know, she said I could face fuck her. Yeah, but did she say that you could come in her throat? No.
Exactly.
Ah, man. Oh no, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Is there a code name for this person?
This is Monica.
I'm sorry that happened, Monica. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you, Monica.
So, our next comment is from Say No Name. So this is via email. Thank you. So, hello ladies, I'm back. Listening to the Cunnilingus episode, a little bit of advice for the fellas and ladies, if that's your thing. Like, half of giving women is paying attention to body language, other half is tongue stamina. That's so funny. I found that a lot of women don't like the same thing, so you definitely have to pay attention to body language and direction. Don't be offended if a woman tells you how she likes it. It's not a slight. Also, the stamina part. Some women can come in no time, and some might take a whole lot longer. You've got to be committed. I love this.
You do. Once you sign up for it, you gotta carry through.
Or at least, like, say, like, you know, you're not, that's not gonna be the whole act. Like, the goal isn't to make the woman come. It's to, like, I'm just gonna warm you up real quick. Like, just.
Yeah, right.
Got me the expectations to be on the same level. Then, also, if a woman makes me wipe my mouth off after giving her head, it's such a turnoff. That's your vagina, and if you allow me to put my mouth and tongue there, and you refuse to taste some, then I'm gonna wonder what's up with you. I've had that happen before with an ex, and it made me not want to go down on her. That, I have mixed feelings about that.
Okay.
Because I feel like...
I just feel like different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
But if that turns him off, then he just shouldn't be with a lady who asked him to do that. Exactly. Some people don't care, though.
The thing is, sometimes I don't care, and, like, I just, you know, like, had BV, I've had yeast infections, you know. Like, I'm just with my vagina all day in different ways than you are with my vagina. So, like, when you're coming up for a kiss, I'm not always thinking, ooh, you know, some sex juice, getting a little sip.
Uh-huh.
You know, I might just be like, okay. Oh, man, last time I checked, there was some stuff leaking. It was normal stuff, but it wasn't happy stuff, you know.
Interesting. But what if he feels like, but you let me put the not happy stuff in my mouth, so...
Well, I think it's the not happy stuff. It's more like...
Sorry.
Oh, it's so mature. It's, I guess it's like, I'm not like... I know it's not poisonous, and it's not going to...
It's not?
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
It's not poisonous. It's not going to hurt you, and I think if you take more enjoyment... Because, like, I think, like, I've been thinking about my bisexuality, and I'm like, I don't know if I am excited by the idea of going down on a girl in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my thing, like, I might just be not a, like, a head giver. I just might not be attracted to women. But just, like, you know, vaginal juices. They're just, like, on my panties all day. And, of, you know, of course I do, like, we'll rinse and wash, you know. But if, like, you're going to go down on me and I haven't showered yet and you don't care, like, I'm like, all right, well, we both don't care about you going down on me, but if I haven't showered, that's fine. But, like, I don't know. If I've showered, I'm like, okay, whatever. But if I haven't, I'm like, eh, it's fine. It's all fine. But then also, sometimes I don't care. I'm extremely rambly and inconclusive. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you are. I have a flip on that. So let's say you're going down on a man or a person with a penis or whatever, and they make you wipe your mouth afterwards, or maybe even, like, I don't know, brush your teeth afterwards. I don't know, whatever. Like, how would that make you feel?
I wouldn't mind. I guess because...
Or just wouldn't, like, want any kisses afterwards.
Say that again?
If they just wouldn't want a kiss afterwards in general.
If they weren't going to want any kind of kiss afterwards, that I wouldn't go down on them. I'd be like, what? I just want to kiss you. But I don't think I'd mind. Because, like when John, like, comes back up and there's, like, a trail of kisses back up, then I'm like, okay, the saliva has been diffused. I'm fine.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I kind of just have no opinion on this. I really don't particularly care. Unless it's, like, covered in juice, I'm just like, whoa. I just don't want my face to be that wet in general. but in particular, I'm neither here nor there.
Yeah. In regards to maybe that. I'm not either. Maybe that's what I discovered. I thought I had a strong opinion on this, and now I'm
not. Rambles on for 86 minutes. Results inconclusive.
It's just me that's saying fine. I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I feel. I don't know.
It's funny.
Yeah. Well, there's just a lot of good things. This little bit of advice was good advice.
Yep, that's it for Fuck You. Please continue to send us your comments about episodes and your questions and your stories and all that good stuff to ihupodcast@gmail.com. So, we are having a Valentine's Day party in New York City in a couple of weeks. Wow, it's actually really soon. What the fuck? Well, this is on February 6th. Damn, that came up fast.
You can check out our Instagram. We'll also tell you there's three things you gotta do in order to get in. And believe me, you want to be in this party. You wanna be in.
Yes.
First thing.
It's gonna be the best party of your life.
First thing you gotta do.
You can do two out of these three things. First thing we would like you to do is leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes for Innerho Uprising. Simple enough. Next thing we would like you to do is take one of our thumbnails, post it to your Facebook, your Instagram, your Twitter, whatever, write a cute little short caption, and ask your friends to listen. The third thing we would like you to do is to tweet at 5 cool accounts that we think are cool and just encourage them to check out Innerho Uprising. The accounts can be found on our Instagram and our Twitter and our Facebook at this point. You can follow us at @slam_pow on Instagram and Twitter to find that. And yeah, so just do 2 out of those 3 things and you're invited to our party. Yeah, it'll be fun and cool, and there'll be snacks and cute girls working the bar, cute boys working the bar, maybe, all that good stuff. And then after you do that stuff, we just ask that you take a picture of it, a screenshot of it as proof, send it to us at ihupodcast@gmail.com, your favorite email, and yeah, it'll be cool and great and fun. And this party, it's looking like February 6th. All right, so that was it for Innerho Uprising.
Now leaving you with a little something sexy.
Is it nasty that I want to eat your pussy while you're driving? Is it nasty that I want you to ride my face, tongue slide?
Is it nasty that I'm trying to eat that cat, make sure you shave it, because I want to eat that pussy till your body starts to shake?
Is it nasty if I want to work my tongue on that clit, fuck around and smack you in the face with that dick?
Is it nasty that I want to put some ice cream on your tits, put some honey on your pussy, then I slurp that dick?
Is it nasty that I want to pick you up on my shoulders, eat that pussy up for lunch, and then you come up in my soda?
Is it nasty if I want to pull in and pull out, freaky nigga girl, you can come and squirt up in my mouth?